The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Let's park matters Massachusetts. Well, almost. For the moment, because that conclave officially underway, as you will have heard there in the news headline. So all eyes this evening around the world, certainly from a Catholic point of view, will be on the chimney of the Sistine Chapel to see when indeed a successor to Pope Francis is elected. Henry McKean is in the Vatican for us. Before we come to Henry, though, joining me in our studio here in Boston, Massachusetts, is Father James DePerry of Our Lady's Parish in Waltham in Massachusetts, just outside the city of Boston. Father, you're very, very welcome. It's great to see you.
Honored to be here.
Yeah, no, we really appreciate you taking the time to come into us. Tell me a little bit about your interest in the conclave and what is happening today.
Well, and I love being a priest and is pastor of a parish, a native of South Boston, going through Catholic schools all my life, and having a school of 406 children, pre-K through the 8th grade, so basically a primary and a middle school. We've been praying for the right person at the right time for the right place to be head of the Catholic Church, the successor of St. Peter, and to ask the Lord's blessing. So the children of the school are all enthused, the parishioners as well, about 900 or more each and every weekend at our Sunday Masses in the parish. And we are a parish of just regular, ordinary people. And our focus is what we want, what God wants. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will guide, direct, and govern the deliberations of those who are in Rome for the conclave. And asking the good Lord's blessing on all of us here in the United States, and including, of course, Ireland, which I'm actually a citizen of through my grandparents. Three of them were born in Ireland. Two from Galway, Connemara. One from Carna, the town there on the Galway Bay. As well as Rossmuck, Comus, Lower Comus, to be particular, specific. And my father's mother was from County Cork and from Queenstown, and then, now, Cove. So we ask God's blessing. Of course, DePerry is a Sicilian name, so yeah. My grandfather was Sicilian, and he married a Corkonian. So on this great day for the Church, great day for all God's people, we ask God's blessing that the days ahead, or this day, that the right person be selected at the right time.
Do you pay much attention or any heed to the personality politics of it all? You know, you open the Irish Times today at home, and I'm sure you open newspapers here as well, and they'll have profiles of the favourites, they'll have the betting odds, they'll talk about the different factions within Conclave and the Murmurazzo and all of this. Do you pay attention to any of that?
Truthfully, not too much, because as a parish priest, you know, my focus is on the people and on the parish, and most of the time it's never accurate. I'm certain that the bets will go well. And usually they're the ones that lose, the front runner. But it's beyond my pay grade, and we'll see what happens. But you never know. Someone will be selected at some point.
And what would you be hoping for? Or what are the values that are important for you in terms of the future of the Church? Say, removing the personalities and all of that.
Someone that God wants, and that will govern and guide the Church, be a shepherd of souls, be pastoral, be available, be present for the people, someone who supports the teachings of the Church, understands the power of the sacraments, the Eucharist being truly the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, understanding one's role as a successor of St. Peter in the modern world, but recognizing the traditions of the faith. And also, as we live in the present, advance toward the future, but key above all, to be a true representative of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and that he reflect God's will, and by a dynamic personality can lead people closer to God by highlighting the critical and important elements of our faith, particularly that God is alive, God is with us, he strengthens us, and to help us to follow God's will in all that we do, and give us the coping skills in order to endure and survive and succeed and flourish.
The Church in Ireland, and as somebody who is an Irish citizen and has such Irish stock, you know, you'd be familiar with its experience over recent years, you know, dwindling numbers in the pews, and obviously had its own sex abuse scandals, much like here in Boston and elsewhere, to deal with. And despite that, there's still there's still a very rich cultural legacy, certainly, and most people would describe themselves still in a sense as they would tick the Catholic box, even if it's from a cultural point of view. How would you describe the nature of the state of the church here in this part of the world?
Truly, in my parish, it's alive and doing very well. I mean, with a school of 406 children, when I first arrived in the parish in 2008, that same school, we had 218 children. And it's not a growth community in terms of it's not a community of large numbers of families and children. We nearly doubled the enrollment because it's truly a solid Catholic school. And it's vibrant, it's healthy, and it's holistic. And also our parish has grown. We were open during the pandemic. We had outdoor masses for 2 years, 7 months.
In Massachusetts?
In Massachusetts, regardless of the weather.
How bad did the weather get?
The weather at times was tough. We had snow.
I'd imagine so.
But we had 200 to 600 people through that 2 years, 7 months of...
At each mass?
At each outdoor mass. We also had the church open for prayer, and we had masses inside separately. We take health seriously. We're not denying the reality of the virus. But we kept the focus on God, and people flocked to us, local people from our parish and well beyond. And that's what people want. They want to be able to search and find God in a church that leads them to God, a church that's dynamic, that's healthy, that's holistic. But it's not relying on public opinion, and it's relying on what God wants for each one of us to be the best we can according to who we are, to the best we can do, and to be faithful with what we have. And we had our outdoor mass. I mean, we had, God blessed us, of those 137 consecutive Sundays, almost 3 years, only a half a mass had rain.
Really? In this part of the world?
In this part of the world. And we, our last outdoor mass consecutively was January the 1st, 2023. So we kept it going. But we weren't there just because we liked the great outdoors. We were there, and the people were there because they wanted and yearned for God in the Eucharist. The key and the source and the summit of all life. And that's the key of it all. And to be available and to be present and to be people-oriented, but firstly God-oriented. And thus we succeeded by God's grace. And we had First Communions 2 years in a row outside because there was no restrictions on how many people could attend. We followed all the health protocols. We had confirmations 2 years in a row outside. We did, of course, Christmas Mass and even the evening Mass outside. And we're talking cold. We had snow. We had wind. We had gusts up to 50 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I know you have a different terminology.
80 kilometers an hour.
80 kilometers.
Yeah.
But we did it, and that was gust. But people were there. People, when we're challenged, people in all of us step up to the plate. That's a baseball term. But step up to the front line for the right reasons. And for God, and to be there for one another. In an age that's divisive, oftentimes people, we can look for that. But when we look at what's common and why we're there, it's not a social club, it's not merely a school, it's an instrument to bring God's grace, the gospel of Jesus Christ into the world. It can be accomplished, and it has been done and can be done. And to focus on one sin or someone's sin or a group of people's sin that happens throughout society in any occupation is not going to cause the church to survive and endure, but also a church that truly is attentive to the reality of life and the protection of all God's people and to bring them closer to Jesus in a common sense, in a realistic way, doing again the best we can with what we have.
Do you think that we sometimes underestimate the value of that communal, that congregational experience, that we're ultimately kind of gregarious creatures, that we want to be with others, we want to, for all the kind of the triumph of individualism maybe over the last couple of decades, that ultimately on some level we yearn for a communal experience
more than ever. And I find the younger people coming up are looking for that which they were not given. The isolation of COVID, the individualism in an extreme way, the focus on, say, one's phone totally and completely, in losing that basic common sense, hello, goodbye, nice to see you, the values that I was brought up with here in South Boston. And I I gained from my parents and my grandparents, and of course three of them again were from Ireland, that ability and not to be fearful of a stranger to say hello, and yet have the ability to figure out a person and to step away from a situation that's not good, but also to expect and work for the best of others and give it your best shot. And that will come back. And I find when there's a challenge like the COVID crisis, at Our Lady's Parish, together with all of the volunteers and a very small staff, and including, of course, the teachers of the school, people stepped forward and they rise to the occasion when there's a challenge for God and for themselves. And they're not looking into anything, the divisive things, but what links them together that gives them life. And faith gives us the coping skills to survive. It's not fantasy land. It's not a fairy tale. Our faith is alive and true, and God is on his throne. And to focus on the Lord of all life, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, leading us into heaven, that's our goal. He gives us the graces. Now it's up to us to succeed. And he will allow us to succeed if we just yield and soften our hearts, give it our best, and then, of course, rely on the prayers of Mary, our mother, this month of May, and all the prayers, praying from the heart, and above all the Mass, the greatest of all prayers. Nothing can equal the Mass and the power of Christ in the Eucharist. And so for the great people of Ireland that have spread the faith through the continents of the world, through the centuries, to continue and to bless those who practice and call back those who yearn to return in the life of faith in Jesus.
The numbers you mentioned as well, you know, up to 900 people in the pews at the weekend. Are those additional people, are they people who've come back to the faith, or maybe whose parents were raised in the faith and they maybe weren't necessarily, or are they completely new converts, or is it a mixture of all of the
it's
above?
A mixture of all. Yeah. I also found because we were present and available during Corona, the people knew we stood with them and were able to.
Mm.
The civil authorities allowed that too, of course, the archdiocese, that in each and every parish they tried to respond in the way they could, as we did. We had two huge parking lots. Now, the people were not in cars during the Mass. They parked their cars on one side of the church, and they sat outside as I celebrated Mass outside. That was a testimony of faith. Those people stayed.
Well, listen, as you say, I know you and all the students you mentioned from kindergarten right the way through would be praying for those who have to make these decisions in Vatican City over the next few days. In the meantime, Father, thanks a million for joining us.
God bless. Keep up the good work. My best to all in Ireland, here from South Boston and Our Lady's Parish in Waltham, Massachusetts.
Father, thank you.
God bless.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.